This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9 at the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. In the studio with Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. As usual, say hello, Daniel.
Hello, everybody.
And of course, the man with the news, Mr. Arif Roos. Say hello.
How's it going?
Slight change around in format today. Coming right up, we have our news segment and then followed by a car review of the Volvo S60. That's all coming up in just a couple of seconds. Before that, though, Mr. Arif Roos, the man with the news. Right then, big news, of course. Last week on Friday, the budget 2019 was announced. What exciting things can you tell us all about this that affects the industry that that man is involved with?
That man being Daniel Fernandez, of
indeed.
Course. There's a lot of things, actually. The first thing, we're going to keep the most interesting thing for last, and I think I'm going to assume everybody knows what that is. So for roads, about 926 million ringgit has been approved for building and improving our Malaysian highways. The Works Ministry wanted 2 billion ringgit, and he was pressing for that all week, but I guess he didn't get it. Overall, there's nothing for us, nothing specific for us in the Klang Valley. In the East Malaysia, we've got the Pan Borneo Highway, which will continue, but other than that, nothing much. Moving on to public transport, the MRT2 and the LRT3 will continue, and as well as upgrading the railway tracks all across Malaysia.
Excellent.
Also, the best thing that's come out, I think, from the Ministry of Transport in a really long time, which is the unlimited access monthly pass at 100 ringgit from January 1st, 2019. We'll be getting that.
Multipass.
Unlimited use for all trains and bus services.
So is that LRT and MRT and everything else?
Yeah.
Daniel, how do you feel about this?
I love it because, you know, I'm already close to retirement age.
So no.
I was going to get
age is just a number.
I was going to get the retirement bus pass, you know, and now I don't have to wait for it.
Right.
I can get it right now.
It's a bargain, though.
Yes,
it is. Yeah. And you can literally go anywhere. There's also a 50 ringgit option, which allows you to get onto the buses only, no trains.
Okay.
Is quite useful, I think.
All right.
Speaking of buses, Prasarana will work to improve the bus network. They've used the word optimized as the key word here. And DBKL will spend about 20 million ringgit to provide more GoKL free bus services, covering council homes as well, which is also a good thing. But then again, there's not really much mention or attention being paid to the lack of buses during the last mile, which is, you know, still kind of worrying.
Which I think is the biggest deal as well.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't take public transport because they have to walk to get public
transport.
And it's hot and it's raining and one thing or another.
Exactly.
You need, I tell you what you need, smaller buses to go around.
We need
around
the old bus minis.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yes.
You need those kind of things to go around the little housing estates and whatever.
Yes.
People would use them if they were in service.
How many people can the minibuses carry?
Actually, I think it's only about 30, maybe 20.
30 or 40, I think.
But when I was a young kid, we know you used to have 40-odd people that used to hang from the handrail, hang from the windows, hang from the rear staircase. You know, it's like what you see now in like Bangladesh and, and Yemen and Tunisia. But, you know, it got people moving.
Exactly.
It got people to the destination.
Yeah.
And the buses stopped anywhere.
Just a quick question. Was this before Proton was launched, just out of interest?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
What a coincidence.
Funny. All right, what else have we got?
We've also got toll prices. We've been talking about it for really so long. And I'm looking at this. It says here that there's going to be a freeze on all inner city highways in 2019.
Okay.
And that's kind of quite limiting, isn't it?
Well, you pay the most amount of money with the inner city highways.
Yeah.
The long distance highways are not that expensive. For example, today I went to 6 destinations. I spent about 18 ringgit in tolls. Okay.
Aren't you popular?
I'm very popular. Now, 18 ringgit on a weekend is a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money. You know, I mean, it's you know, 3 hours in the morning and you spend 18 ringgit. That's a lot of money to be spent just on tolls. You know?
That's fair
but
enough.
But you have to get to where you have to get, and if you want to avoid it, you get into traffic, you know. So you weigh the options.
So I guess it's a good thing.
Well, you know, I would say it's a good thing for now.
For now.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing that they're not raising prices.
Yes.
So speaking of prices, the big issue of the week, obviously, is fuel.
Jing.
So the big one is that the government announced the fuel subsidy, the long-awaited fuel subsidy for the RON95. It will apparently benefit about 6.6 million motorists at a cost of 2 billion ringgit. The details is there will be a 30 cent subsidy per liter, limited to 100 liters a month for cars under 1.5 liters. And it's kind of limited to about 40 liters for bikes 125 cc's and below. This was the huge debate about it. Owners with multiple cars or premium cars under 1.3 liters won't get it as well. But I feel like the government needs to provide a very specific criteria on which cars and who and what qualifies to get this discount. Again, how it works is still not known, but it will be introduced in quarter two of 2019. So I guess they have about half a year to figure it out.
Question, how are they going to enforce this?
That's the thing. I was saying, you know, this to me, to spend this kind of money, fine. It's a good move for the Pakatan government. It shows that they care for the people and all that. But really, 30 ringgit a month, is it going to change your lifestyle? That's two packets of cigarettes, right? On average. Okay?
For motorcyclists, I'd imagine it might make a difference, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you see, even then you say, okay, 30 ringgit. The hassle, the mechanism to actually enforce this, you have to talk to all the petrol stations nationwide. They must come up with a system. Maybe there's a smart card or something like
Richard
that.
Richard Bradbury, patent pending here.
Yes.
A stamp book. You turn up with a stamp book. You know, you have like one litre, you turn up, you get it stamped, dump. Then you get, there you go, done.
Ah.
Cheap,
easy, piece of paper, done.
Yeah, but you know for a fact, even though that's a great idea, they're going to come with some electronic system.
Of course,
which is going to be hard to maintain, hard to to monitor.
They'll have an app, won't they?
Somebody will introduce an app.
Yep.
And then, you know, when there's electrical downtime, it won't work.
Right.
And then the motorcyclists will get upset.
And then there'll be the whole thing of, please don't use your mobile phone at the petrol station.
Exactly.
We're fixing it and unfixing it all at the same time.
So I think this big cost is not going to help. It's just going to add more cost to this, and it's just going to be something that is going to be really forgotten after some
time. I am betting there are people sat at home listening to this show right now screaming at us, you know, saying, of course it's going to help. Of course we have a solution for it. If there are, let us know. Get us on Twitter. You can get us at BFM Radio.
Yep.
Or you can comment on the photos that Arif will be uploading this weekend on at BFM Cruise Control over on Instagram. Is that right, Arif?
Yes, definitely. There is also another piece of detail that came out from this fuel subsidy thing, is that the RON 95, which has been stagnant for what, since May, right?
Yes, it's going to be float.
It's going to start floating after this fuel subsidy will be in place. So since May, the RON 97 has jumped, what, 20, 30, 40 cents?
Probably, yes. I don't use 97, so I don't know.
Yeah, I know, but...
Do you use it in your car, RF?
No.
just curious.
I think it's going to hurt a lot of us who don't drive.
Of course, because if RON 95 is going to be floated, definitely the price is going to go up, and it's going to change, because everyone is saying about how petrol prices are going to keep going up and up in the next 1 year. So it's going to affect a lot of people. Then again, the subsidy thing is not going to help, because one side of the population is going to be angry. The other side is going to be saying, hey, I'm saving 30 ringgit.
You know?
So
you can't please everybody.
Exactly. So I think just don't have the subsidy.
Right. Oh,
I'm sorry to say this, but I think just don't have the subsidy. Take that.
Are you trying to make friends? Or,
no,
you
know? Because I think with that 2 billion ringgit, clean up the rivers.
Oh, okay.
Clean up the oceans. Clean up the beaches.
You know? You're on this green trip all
yes,
over again.
Of course,
you did this last week. And what's going on with you? Midlife crisis?
He went to California. That's what he went to.
Exactly.
You'll be eating avocado sandwiches next.
Yes.
All right, what else have we got?
What I want to know is what you guys think about this. Do you think it's a good or bad transport budget?
I think for people who have less money, I think it's probably a better thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave it at that. What about green tech, though? There is some, you know, incentive for green tech, right?
Well, not specifically to cars, but I feel like it should affect the cars, the automotive industry.
To.
Yeah. The government is setting aside 2 billion ringgit for green tech industry, specifically for incentives, not for development, I don't think.
Mm.
It could be related to cars, the manufacturing sector, or even power, which, you know, is pretty cool that we're focusing on that.
All right. Okay, is that it? That, of course, was the news with Mr. Arif Ruse. Sorry, before we move on, I forgot. D segment.
Yep.
Apparently, it's heating up.
Very hot. Very hot.
What's going on there?
So, the new Toyota Camry has finally arrived.
After bookings are open.
Bookings are already open. Do you have any more details about that?
Nope, but I know December 18 is the launch date.
Oh.
December 18.
What do you guys think about the looks? I posted a picture a couple of days ago.
I love the looks, but a lot of people, when I put it up on my website, a lot of people commented that they're upset about the fact that the engine and gearbox is the same old engine and gearbox. They have not improved on the drivetrain. But then again, you know, this is the first model launch for the new Camry. So I'm sure as the months go by, they'll come up with a hybrid version or they'll come up with a different version. And they can't really say anything now because the NEP has not been introduced.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they don't know whether it's going to be beneficial for them to introduce a hybrid or just keep it a petrol-driven version, or should they spend the money and come up with an even more high-technology version when the government is not, you know, showing them which side they're going to go with this with the incentives. You know?
Right. What do you think of it then?
I don't know. One day I think it looks amazing. The other day I just think it's horrible. But I really...
swings around about black and white.
Major swing.
Can you not come somewhere in the middle?
But I think... Like the reason why I brought this up is because I think the D segment is starting to try and appeal to the younger crowd because you look at the Camrys now and the Accords now and you just, wow, they're all uncle's cars, you know. No offense, Daniel.
True.
Really,
I agree with him. Yes.
I mean, the new Camry comes with a 9-speaker JBL system, which really, which uncle is going to care about
exactly.
that?
Exactly.
And
the new grill.
And the new grill.
And the front bumper spoiler.
Get me a picture of this. Can we have a picture of this very quickly?
Yeah.
While they're fiddling with their phones, the guys are quickly, just for Richard, who didn't get the chance to have a look at this picture, of the new Camry, the 2.5V, is it?
Yes.
Yep.
Coming in 190,000 ringgit. There's a hybrid and a 2 litre. Oh, it does look pretty nice, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to quickly comment on this thing. Looking at, I've got two images now right in front of me. The grill seems to be enormous on this thing. The front grill seems to be enormous. I mean, the back also looks quite aggressive with the exhaust pipes being lowered and the little fins there as well.
But that second picture is a US spec version.
So there's going to be likely a different look to it.
Yeah.
So, why did they do that?
But the front knows that's the final version.
But that's the official final bit. But the interior looks nice.
Yeah.
You know, I like the kind of angles being thrown around all over the place. I like the look of that.
It looks pretty young. But next year, I think we'll be expecting the new Honda Accord. You know,
Honda Accord is coming in 9 months' time.
Nine months.
That baby is going to be hot.
I'm
nine
in
months,
love with
that baby
car.
Is going to be hot.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know, those two cars will be competing with the Mazda 6, which we know is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
There's a Kia Optima GT, which we mentioned was launched last week.
Sonata.
Hyundai Sonata, mm-hmm. And then the Volkswagen Passat, if you want to be a little bit bougie in the car park, I guess. Bougie.
Oh, okay, bougie. Yeah,
mm-hmm, I don't know. Mm-hmm. European car, continental car, you know, all
right,
that comparisons. There's also the new Nissan Tiana, which I don't know if it's going to be coming here, but it's...
Not confirmed.
Not confirmed. It's a gorgeous car. Nissan, you should bring it here. And then, you know, if you don't want to spend 200,000 ringgit or something, then you have the Pradana, which is about 110.
Okay, let's change something now.
Local launches then.
We've got a bunch of Citroens this week.
Yes.
Citroen Grand C4 Space Tour. This was formerly called the Picasso, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
It's an MPV. It starts about 150,000 ringgit, which I think is pretty good value.
Yeah, full 7-seater. Yep. Lots of tech in this car.
My dad had one of these for years.
Really?
Yeah, Picasso. He loved it.
Okay. But the older one had a bit of an odd shape,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. It was kind of like a flattened egg or something.
Yes,
you know, weird
but it worked
thing.
Very well in terms of space.
Yeah.
It's something that doesn't look like an egg, though.
But this looks really nice.
The Citroen C3 Aircross.
Yes.
That's a really gorgeous car, I think. It's a B-segment SUV, really just competing with other French cars.
Correct.
It's a striking-looking thing. You can option it with 2 or 3-tone color schemes, and really, the fun fact here is that the wheel design is called Forever.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I know. French.
Working
people,
on the branding there, folks.
Well, well done. They love to be unique.
Mm. It's not unique, though. Anyway, okay. Never mind. Moving on.
Moving on to Volkswagen. So at the Premium Auto Car Expo that happened last weekend, there was on display a Volkswagen Arteon. I think it's a really gorgeous car.
And Beautiful looking car.
Gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a fastback. It's beautiful.
Yeah. I think it's going to launch about early next year, and it's going to go head-to-head against the Stinger GT, which really nobody's buying, I don't think, right?
Because of the brand.
Yeah.
It's not because of the looks. It's just the brand, you know? Mm. Malaysians are not willing to pay that much money.
240,000-ish?
Yes. Somewhere around there.
It's a beautiful looking car.
I think I'm looking forward to renting one of those in Europe.
And
using that as a road trip car. I think it looks gorgeous.
It was launched in Singapore a few months ago.
Okay.
And it received overwhelming response. The only thing is because the COE price was high.
Right.
So a lot of people had to back out. But Volkswagen Singapore was talking to me and they said, amazing the response from, you know, for such a high-priced car.
Yeah.
Everybody just went nutters. And I've seen this car. I've touched and felt it. It's a beautiful looking design. The interior, typically Volkswagen, nicely built, but it's the design that really captures the emotion.
Do you think that Passat buyers will be swayed to move up to this?
I think not the CC buyers. Mm. Passat CC buyers definitely move up because it's in the same segment, but it's a trade up, you know.
Yeah. Mm.
The only problem is with that kind of pricing, you're very close to Mercedes and BMW pricing, mm-hmm. and you know Volkswagen at some point is not playing in the premium car market yet. Yeah. They would like to, but for Malaysians, no, I don't think so.
Are they testing the water with this, you think, maybe?
This is a global car. So right. for Malaysia, it's, you know, whether they like it or not, it's not testing.
Right.
We just launch it and see what happens.
You should check it out, folks. Check out the images that Daniel has on his website, which is
dsf.my.
There you go.
Staying with the Volkswagen Group, we've got a couple of Audis that are coming next year as well. One of them is a Q5. It should start around 360,000 ringgit. We've also got the Q2, which I think is an X1 competitor.
BMW exactly, X1 competitor. Exactly.
It should be launched at the end of this year and should also be around 230,000 ringgit. So quite interesting stuff. Audi's coming back with their SUVs.
Slowly but surely.
Mm. Yeah.
And there you go, folks. That was the news with Mr. Arif Roos. Stick around. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we have our car review this week. It is all about the Volvo S60. So you're listening to Cruise Control here on BFM 89.9. FM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM 89.9. I'm in the studio with Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello.
Hello, Mr. Going to UK Tomorrow.
And I'm also with Arif Roos, the man with the news. Say hello, Arif.
Hello.
Right, car review time, Daniel.
Yes, and you know, we talked about this last week.
Yes.
I went to USA.
Oh, here we go.
Santa Monica, yes. Long flight, yes. But well worth it. Arrived pretty tired, but next morning got the keys to the brand new Volvo S60. Now, we took two models out. The Polestar version, which sadly will not come to Malaysia very soon.
Why?
It'll come. And then the S60 T6. So I'm going to concentrate today's review on the S60 T6 because
we're going to see it.
We are going to see it for sure.
Right.
And the spec that is coming to Malaysia is exactly what we drove in terms of color, interior features, everything else. It's just that the steering wheel will be on the correct side. In the US, they still haven't figured that out.
Yes. Yeah.
So we got the car. Initial looks, very, very, very commanding. Nice angular sides. The whole design process, if you look at it, they've taken the S90 and scaled it down. You know, and they've got the proportions just right. And when I was talking to the designer, her name is Lisa, she explained to me that before this, she worked for Bentley Motors in London.
I see.
Ooh, so, fancy.
And you know, Bentley has always had this very commanding, very,
ostentatious,
yeah,
big.
Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah.
And now you get this Volvo. It's small, it's sleek, it's stylish. And you think, okay, you know, a lady from Bentley has managed to do this and she's done it very, very nicely. But you have to take a closer look at the car, which, you know, until it comes here, you guys are going to miss out. There are so many little lines and little dents in the car that have been purposely done for airflow because it's a square block.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people
As are most Volvos.
Yes, you know, square block, how do you get aerodynamics done? Well, they've managed to do it. So the aerodynamics on this car is excellent. It also is so good that when you're driving fast, you don't get a lot of wind noise, you know, so it's done well. So we got the keys and we got into a bit of early morning traffic, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning, heavy traffic. So we're playing around with the sound system, Bowers and Wilkinson. You
Ooh.
Know? Very nice system.
Yeah.
And that will come to Malaysia also. Seat comfort, very nice. If you look at the back, the rear seat comfort is enough for 3 adults. No issue at all.
Bigger than the old
S60, slightly smaller than the current S90. So this car is actually sitting more, if you ask me, in the BMW 5 Series and Mercedes E-Class sector. Of course, the direct competition should be the A4 from Audi, the C-Class and the BMW 3 Series. But all these cars are going to get upgraded very soon. So, you know, Volvo is already one step ahead.
Yeah.
Like it's 1 inch longer than the 3 Series, another 1 inch, you know, wider than the A4, you know, so it's got a little bit more room here and there. And the interior, the quality of the interior, exactly like what you find in the current Volvos, superb, you know, fit and finish, everything there. But, you know, all this is basically something which you get at showroom level. You want to know now, how does this car drive? Well, it's a 2-litre engine, turbocharged with an 8-speed gearbox. It has the same drivetrain that you'll find in the Volvo XC60 SUV, but tweaked for added excitement. Because why? Volvo has targeted this car as a sports sedan. Even though it's just a T6, they want to say, listen, it's a sports sedan. So, like how Arif was a little bit disappointed that we're not talking about the Polestar, and the Polestar is not coming to Malaysia so far. Because Polestar is well known as their performance division. Yeah. But we also were a little bit wrong when we mentioned, hey, why are you not bringing the Polestar as a performance division? I said, no. Polestar is our electrification division.
Oh. Wait.
So when a car is called Polestar, it'll be plug-in hybrid or a full electric car. So we got into the T6, we drove it, and even though it's just 316 brake horsepower, it feels a lot faster. The engine responds much, much faster. The car feels lighter at your feet, you know. The steering, very nice and weighty. Previous Volvos used to be a little bit light. Previous Volvos never had the handling that they could challenge the Germans. And this was a failing that they used to have. They used to have fantastic straight line speed. But when it came to corners, they always were let down. You know, real drivers will say, oh, you know, the Volvo doesn't corner as well as a BMW or a Mercedes or even an Audi. Mm. But that has changed with this car. Adaptive suspension, they've gone back to the drawing board and said, listen, we have to compete. And here comes a little bit of a funny situation, because as we brought this car back with all the excitement done and everything else, we're having dinner and we're sitting down with the chassis designer and the safety engineer. And, you know, he was going on and on about, you know, how Volvo is all about safety, because safety features up the wazoo. You know, to list them will need 2 hours. Mm. And, you know, Volvo has always proclaimed that safety thing. And I said, you know, you guys are always talking about safety, yet you're making your cars faster and faster and faster. So what's the point? Because if you're going to go so fast and then you're going to play around with the safety features, that means you've got to just always keep adding on the safety features,
right, yeah,
as you add on the speed. So why don't you just reduce the speed and then you don't have to play so much of the safety features? They both started laughing and saying, well, you know, this is the first time someone has actually brought up this point. But what can we do? The market,
yeah,
the buyers want that performance figures, whether they use it or not. They want to hear the figures like 316 brake horsepower, 395 newton meters of torque. 0 to 100 in 5.3 seconds.
I mean, you were comparing all of its the Germans, right?
Yes.
And yeah, I mean, 316 horsepower is actually far below what BMW, Mercedes are putting out in their 340i's.
Exactly.
So they do have to keep up. To
yes,
get
but
somewhere.
You see, this is the T6. You wait and see. The T8.
Oh yeah.
Will come, and you know they always start with the T5 and the T6, and then the T8 is the one that really bangs home everything with the R design.
Yeah.
But again, you're throwing out so much power, you're throwing out fantastic brakes, suspension, everything else, and then you have to add on all the safety features to make sure that the person driving the car, no matter how much of a good driver or an idiot he is, he comes out alive, because Volvo wants people to not die in their cars by 2020, you know? So this is a bit of a...
It's a fairly good incentive,
right?
Yes.
You know? Yes. Okay. Yes. So it's going to be difficult. At some point, somebody has to back down and say, listen, we're making cars too fast.
Yeah.
Let's just back, you know, a little bit, and let's just make them fun to drive.
Yeah, and safe.
Yes.
All right. What do you like about it then?
First off, I love the design.
Yeah.
The whole design, if you look at it, it sits so nicely on the road. It's squat, it's purposeful, it's muscular. Volvos have tend to be a little bit boring previously. This car, no. From each angle I look at it, it doesn't look boring at all.
I like the look of it. I like the picture you have here, the white one that you have on your website.
Okay.
Kind of looks, it's sat quite low.
Yes.
Low profile tires. It yes. kind of looks, it looks very aggressive.
And that's
aggressive.
Talk, huh? That's talk.
Yeah, it looks aggressive.
Yeah.
For
and that's
a
the
Volvo,
T6.
Yes. For me to look at that and go, that looks pretty cool.
Yes.
You know. So, okay, let's go through the 8-point inspection.
Okay.
Who's the car for?
I think this car targets a lot of current German car owners who have enjoyed their German cars. But if you're looking at something totally different, something to just take your mind off, you know, being competitive about, you know, which logo I've got on my key.
Yeah.
Walk into a Volvo showroom in 9 months' time when this car arrives, take it for a test drive, and then you decide if, you know, if the logo is more important than the dynamics.
All right. Who are its main competitors, and how does it kind of compare? So you've got in the D segment, you've got the new Camry,
yes.
the Volkswagen Passat, the Mazda 6 Premium,
right.
The Lexus IS, BMW 3 Series, MB, C-Class, Audi A4.
Okay. To be honest, this car competes directly with just BMW,
yeah.
Mercedes, Audi, Lexus, and in a little bit of a way, the Kia Stinger.
Right.
Okay. The rest are not in its segment at all. No. And because it's made in USA, because this car is going to be made in USA for the global market. Of course, it's
for
coming
the global market.
For the global market.
That's
brand
a big
new factory.
Step.
Yes. Big factory in USA. That's why the test drive was done in USA.
Just quickly, why have they decided to do that and keep it just in the US?
Well, I think also partially because, you know, US is their biggest market.
Right.
And then comes China. By having it in US, of course, you keep certain presidential people happy and create jobs and everything else.
Especially owned by,
yes.
You know. What stands out about it?
I would have to say the drive dynamics. I mean, design one thing, but if you drive it, because Volvos have not been that exciting in terms of drive dynamics. And because they made us drive in the countryside, all twisties, all old roads, you could actually feel the dynamics of this car.
Smart. How does it drive then? To that, for the ride, the handling, everything.
Very well.
All right. What might annoy you about it?
Okay, the one thing that will annoy me about this car is that gear shifter.
Uh-oh.
I'm not taken by the little glass gear shifter. I mean, I've seen it in the XC90.
Little
I've seen
tap ones, is it?
Yeah, I've seen it in the XC60. It's beautiful. It's crystal. It's very nice. But it just doesn't go with, you know, it's that is something you'll see in probably a Bentley or a Rolls Royce.
It's like having a very modern house and then a huge glass chandelier right
exactly.
in the middle of it.
You're right on money with that.
Interesting.
Yes.
All right, then how well is it equipped? You know, and what will the Malaysian S60 be getting?
I think it'll have everything short of not having to have anything else. You can't put anything else in the car.
All right. How is it priced then? And what's the warranty and the kind of after sales like?
Well, Volvo warranty is 5 years, no issue. After sales, 5 years, no issue. The problem is the price. Because it's coming from US, the price is going to be high.
Do we have a rough estimate?
I would say it's going to be in the region of $350. That's my estimate. They're not saying anything, but I'm just estimating. If you're going to play with the Germans, you have to be in this price range. Of course, if they do CKD, the price can come down.
Mm.
But looking at what the XC60, which is the SUV, is priced, what the S90, the big sedan, is priced, I think this will be somewhere in between. So you're looking at about 300 over 1,000, which a lot of Malaysians will say, well, 300 over 1,000
for a Volvo
car, you know? Again, that's the branding. But 300,000 for this car in the picture, yes, I want it.
With all that in mind then, would you consider this over the competitors?
I would consider this if the used car market wasn't so crucial. If I'm buying this car to keep for 9 years, then I've got no issue. Because why? Any car, after 9 years, the depreciation is terrible.
Yeah.
Even the Germans, even the British, even the cars from Japan and everything else, after 9 years, the prices are just ridiculously low.
Mm.
You know, that's when people like me can afford them.
Mm.
But in the first 9 years, if you're going to own something like this, fine. But if you're thinking, you know, I'm going to buy the car for 3 years and then flip it and then get another car, then no. It's going to be difficult because you're not going to make enough to pay back the installment to roll on another car.
Gotcha.
Something like this, you buy, you have to hold on to it. And a lot of people keep saying, oh, Volvos depreciate very badly. But look at the second-hand prices of BMWs and Mercedes after 5 years. They're not so pretty.
I can agree with that. I just bought one.
Exactly. He got a really good deal on an old 3 Series.
Yeah.
How old is it?
9 years old.
9 years old. And you know, the price is... I mean, he doesn't earn much money. He doesn't earn your kind of money.
He earns more than me.
No way.
So if he can afford it, you know. It's a reasonable price.
I do have one more question about the S60, though. Mm. Does this mean that Volvo can finally make an enthusiast car?
I think yes.
Mm.
And I think when the T8 comes out, they're going to have a hard time trying to convince people to just get into the car. Because that car is going to have such fantastic features in terms of drive dynamics and performance numbers. But, you know, to get people to come to the showroom to drive a $400,000 car from Volvo,
it's got to be something special.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just like Volkswagen having a hard time trying to convince people to come and test drive the Arteon.
Yeah.
It looks great. The performance figures are good. But then it's going to be $300,000, $400,000. Volkswagen, $300,000, $400,000? I don't think so.
Right.
You know, that's the thing.
Okay, thank you very much for that, Daniel. Ladies and gents,
guys.
This is all the time that we have for today. Of course, we had our news segment. It was mainly budget-related. We spoke about toll prices, fuel subsidies, public transport, buses, a little bit of green tech, and whether or not it was a good or bad transport budget. Thumbs up or thumbs down, boys?
I think thumbs sideways.
Sideways.
You both should be politicians.
Yes.
And then, of course, we had our car launches. We had the new Camry, the Honda Accord. We spoke a little bit about the Citroen Grand C4. Then it was our car review of the Volvo S60, which, if it was a little bit cheaper, perhaps
I wouldn't say cheaper, a better price.
A better price.
Better price.
If you missed any part of the show, don't forget you can listen to the podcast. It is available on bfm.my or via our app, which is available for free in the Apple App Store or Google Play. And we're on Spotify now. You can find us there. Also, we have an Instagram account. It is at BFM Cruise Control. My name is Rich Bradbury. I've been in the studio with Daniel Sherman Fernandez from bsf.my. And of course, the man with the news, Mr. Arif Roos. Cruise Control here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.